Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes several statements of these "I am," which disclose to us, and certainly the disciples, something about the nature of Jesus, but also articulates something about the relationship that we have with Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life on his own accord, and he has the power to lay down his life, going to the cross, and he has the power to be raised up. He lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." But interesting to note, and I think Amanda's children's sermon really did a great job of getting to this finer detail, and we heard really the second half of this story of Jesus as good shepherd, but the idea that the sheep, because they spend so much time with the shepherd, learn the voice of the shepherd. They learn to trust that voice and to be able to distinguish the voice of the shepherd from any other voices. So they'll follow the shepherd's voice, but they will not follow a bandit or a thief, or in this case, maybe the hired hand. So in this passage, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I give myself for their sake. My love for them is so strong that I give myself to protect them." And he contrasts this with the hired hand. The hired hand doesn't own the sheep. The hired hand runs away if a wolf comes to prey upon the sheep. And this contrast between the good shepherd who lays down his life, who's fully invested in caring and protecting the sheep, versus the hired hand who's simply doing a job. So I was thinking about this contrast, the good shepherd who cares so, so much for the sheep, and the hired hand, and thinking of the times in my life when I've been a hired hand. So I want to take you down memory lane for a moment and to try to remember your first job. What was the first job you ever had? And let's go ahead and shout some out. 31, is that an ice cream shop? Okay, ice cream shop, scooper? Okay, good. Anybody else? First job? Dishwasher? Is that what I heard? Cashier at a donut shop? Cashier at a donut shop? That's fun. What else? Who else had a first? Paper boy. Okay, yeah, I did that one. So I was thinking about my first real job. I was 16 years old, and it was at the Marine Supper Club. And my friend Ryan was working there. He's a couple years older than me, and he said that they were looking for work. And I had just got my driver's license, and my parents said, "Well, you can drive the car, but you have to fill it up with gas, and it has to be your own money." So I said, "Oh, a job sounds like a good idea." So I went and applied, and they hired me, and so I got to work with my friend Ryan at the Marine Supper Club, and I can just say this. It was the best supper club in Ashland, Wisconsin. The only one, but it was the best. We had a lot of fun, and we definitely were hired hands. We enjoyed, you know, the work. I was a dishwasher and a busboy. And I remember after my first shift busing tables, at the end of which the waitress who had been there forever handed me money. A portion of her tips went to me as the busboy, and I thought, wow, this is great. I also got to go to the bar area, and they'd fill up with Coke so I could, you know, get a soda, or where I'm from, a pop. Unlimited, actually. But it was just a job, right? If the owner had come to me and said, "Ben, I want you to lay down your life for your job. I'll be like, hey, see you later, right? Now, I remember later then in college, I must have just had a drawing to the food service industry. I worked at a bed and breakfast that also was a very fancy dinner place. And I watched the owner of this business, who lived on site and was up at 5 a.m. and stayed up till 1 a.m. every night to tend to this very business. And he was literally pouring his whole self into that work. And I got to see what it looked like up close and personal. I worked there for 4 summers. Up close and personal of what it means to truly be invested in your business. And if I could say, I was a hired hand when I worked even there, but I got to see what it looked like maybe to be the good shepherd of, in this case, his business. Now, many of us have been hired hands. We work jobs because we get paid. And sometimes we call those a career, and our mindset is still that of being a hired hand. And other times, we really do take ownership and even a sense of calling and purposefulness to our work. Sometimes that calling is to our family, to our close friends, where we take such ownership of those relationships that we're willing to give our whole self to them and sacrifice and give generously. Now, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd to the hired hand, but the hired hand in this case is not an evil person. The hired hand doesn't scatter and chase the sheep away, it's the wolf. And earlier in the text, it's the thieves and the bandits who try to lure the sheep away. Hired hands are those who are doing the work, but maybe don't have the same level of commitment. And thank God that Jesus came as our Savior and as our Good Shepherd and not a hired hand, because the wolf and the thieves and the bandits are in our world. I wish it were the case that being a person of faith somehow exempted us from evil in the world, from struggle and hardship and difficulty. But the truth is, we have to go through those things. And Jesus does not run away from us. Jesus is our Savior at the end of life, eternal life, but also in this life. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd doesn't run away when the wolves show up. Now, one of the most common pieces of scripture talking about shepherding is Psalm 23. And we all maybe are familiar with this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And then it goes on and talks about, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What makes Psalm 23, I think, so powerful is this idea of God as a shepherd is protecting us and leading us, directing us toward places of nourishment and life. He leads me beside still waters, makes me lie down in green pastures. I want you to think about this from a spiritual perspective. We need a shepherd in our life because on our own, because sheep are dumb, we walk past still waters and we skip by green pastures. What the scripture says is, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Because we need sometimes not only to be protected, we need to be directed to places where we can find life and nourishment and care. Because on our own, we might think we can do it all by ourselves, and then when we run out of energy, we're in the desert where there is no water and there is no green grass. He makes me lie down. And yet, we also do go through deserts, or we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this same good shepherd who leads us to still water and green grass leads us through that dark time. So that as we walk through not alone, and we can go through that fearing no evil. And of course, we know that Psalm 23 talks about that we will be led and we will live in the house of the Lord our whole life long for eternity. We need a shepherd in our life because we don't always find pastures and still waters on our own. We need to, yes, seek God's protection, but we also need to be directed. Psalm 23 talks about the rod and the staff comforting me. Rod and the staff sometimes is a hook around our neck saying, don't go that way, you need to go this way. That way's not good for you. Now, sometimes we need a shepherd, and sometimes we need to be one to those entrusted to our care. Sometimes that means, as a parent, helping our kids understand the right paths, and when they're going the wrong way, to give them the nudge or maybe a push towards something better. Maybe that means taking care of friends and family. And yes, we want to help keep people protected and safe, but we also want them to find those places of nourishment and care that they need. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus gives all of himself away, and yet he retains the power to be raised up. He retains the power to not just die on the cross, but to be raised from the dead, and gives to us the promise of eternal life. And not just for us. As John 10 talks about, Jesus says, I have other sheep who are not yet part of this fold. And he casts a vision that is inclusive for all people, that the flock is not complete until all people are part of it. All people, one people of God, with the good shepherd leading us to a place of peace, a place of love, a place of harmony, a place where all people's needs are met, and we walk together serving the Lord. May it be so. Amen.